Y'all, the devil is not wanting me to deliver this message. I just was getting texts from my 14-year-old on Sunday. Mom, my skirt's too short. Can you bring me jeans? No, I can't. I checked your skirt this morning about four times. So you're going to have to tell them, Juju's here, Daddy's in Buckhead, and Mama's at Bible study. So they're going to have to figure something out. Oh, has anybody else had that kind of a morning? But y'all are here, you fall break. I knew a lot of people would be, oh, there she is again. I will make her feel bad. Okay, I'm just going to turn that off. Oh, we're here, fall break. And we knew that there would be several people that are getting ready for fall break, getting ready to leave. I'm like Tiffany, we've got different schedules, so our family is at home. But I'm really excited about this teaching today. I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. I do feel that this possibly could be the most important teaching I've ever taught here at Moms with Swords, and I don't know why. And I don't want to, I always am like full of faith and expectation, and then, you know, maybe nothing happens, but I just am trusting that I know something's going to happen whether I see it and I don't, or I don't see it. In you, in me, in the women that will hear this on podcast, and the women that you will share this message with. So let's just pray. I need to pray. Tiffany just prayed as heaven down, but let's just pray for this word. God, we just entrust you with this word. God, this is not my word. There is no way I could have come up with any of this, Lord, back in June. I pray that this word would it is fire that's shut up in my bones, God. It's been burning in me since I read over it last week, and I can't wait to deliver it. But God, it does no good if the soil is not ready to receive. So God, I pray for every heart in every mom, the soil that would, it would, I just pray that the jackhammer of you would just take that jackhammer and just ready the ground to receive your word. And God, that you would unclog ears, God, distractions, kids and distractions of stuff that we've still got to do. In the name of Jesus, I pray all distractions would cease for the next hour and a half over this time at Moms with Swords. And that your word would prevail and take precedence over anything that needs to be done. I pray every child back there would be soothed by the power of your spirit, that every mom can sit here and receive your word. We trust you with this word. Hide me behind the cross. Keep Moms with Swords. Protect them from joy. Protect them from joy's opinions and joy's words. May it be your word and your word alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm missing one of my little, no. Y'all, see? Look at this. I got to come down here because I'm missing one of my things. So we're back in, 2 Corinthians, y'all, this is hilarious. I mean, if you're listening to my podcast, y'all be glad y'all are driving in your car. Okay, so we're here. 1 Corinthians 15 is where we're going to be today. Still talking about this marked out. And you can kind of tell we gave you a little teaser by where we're going today. But we're going to sit and we're going to learn a little bit more about Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there. I'm going to give you a little context. I always like to give you a little bit of, I mean, there's a lot of word coming forth on a Thursday, and I like to give you some context behind the word that's coming forth. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to learn a little bit about Paul, a little bit more about Paul. So in 1 Corinthians 15, this chapter is known as the Doctrine of the Resurrection. Did you know it is the longest chapter of any New Testament epistle? It is the longest. The Corinthians had come to believe in life after death without bodily resurrection. And Corinth was, think about Atlanta. It was a metropolitan city. It was international. There was a lot of trading. It was filled with all kinds of people. You know, when you go down to Little Five Points, have you ever been to Little Five Points? Oh, my word. Some of your kids went to Music Midtown. This would have been, I mean, all these kind of people. It was very urban. But they're like Atlanta. There was sinful behavior. It was lots of sin, lots of sexual immorality happening in Corinth. And what I love as I read and learning so much about Paul, what's so cool, y'all, and so applicable for us moms, was Paul's instructions to these believers. Listen, get ready. This is so good. I just found this yesterday. Paul's continual instructions to the believers in Corinth. He was not telling them to flee. He was not telling them to get away from all the immoral, crazy people. He wasn't telling them that. Paul's instructions, he was directing them to live out their commitment to Christ boldly. Y'all, does that hit anybody else? Especially for me who's got kids in public school. For kids, I've got kids in, you know, football teams, and y'all got kids in dance teams. Is that awesome? Your kids are having to live out their faith boldly in front of all this stuff happening. And I love that Paul never said, get out, flee, get away from them. Paul said, live out Jesus boldly in front of them. I love that. And for 18 months as their pastor, Paul constantly preached this gospel. For 18 months, Paul constantly preached the gospel of Jesus' death, Jesus' burial, and Jesus' resurrection. So let's pick up in 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to read all the way to verse 11, but we're going to pick. I could preach out of every one of these verses. Every one of these verses, I could come up with a teaching, but God just had me pull a few. So here we go, 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers and sisters, look, he's calling them brothers and sisters. I can tell you some people that I pass in Atlanta, I don't say brother or sister. I judge. Paul knew what they were doing. He knew how they were living. And he still says, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord. Brothers and sisters, doesn't matter what you're doing. Listen, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on. Y'all need to underline that if you have a Bible, or you need to write it in that journal you might have just purchased. I passed on to you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also. As to one abnormally born, and here I love this about Paul, his humility, for I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. We're going to learn a little bit about Paul's past in a couple teachings later. But I just heard Furtick preach a message. He said, everybody's got a but. And this is Paul's. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Say that out loud to yourself. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Say that one more time because some of you need to believe that today. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. Now, this is the Voice translation, which I love. But in another translation, the New Living Translation, Paul calls himself an emissary three times. He calls himself, I'm an emissary of Christ. I'm an emissary. They are an emissary of Christ. And I love this word. I brought this out several sessions ago. But an emissary is an agent sent on a mission. of secret nature as a spy. Don't y'all, I love moms with swords. I just love the pictures. Like, we're spies, y'all. We're on a mission. Our kids, like, think about that. Every time you drop your kids off somewhere, they are God's emissary. They're a secret agent sent on a mission. They are Tom Cruise. They are dun, 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 dun. You need to play that as you drive them somewhere. I tell John William every morning when he gets out of my car, y'all know I don't like to drive my kids to school, especially my middle one, because her school is in the back 40 in the pasture. I hate that drive. So after I complain about the drive, because where does John William get it from? After I complain about the drive, I say, Sophie, you are an ambassador for Jesus today. Go light up your school. I'm going to start playing the Mission Impossible theme before they get out of my car. Tell John William every time, you're an emissary for Christ. You are on a mission for Jesus. Seize it today. So Paul says this three times. Like I said, he calls himself and others that they're emissaries of Christ. But I want us to sit down for a little while. We're just going to sit here in verses 3-4 for just a little while. And if you could bring part 3 and 4, I don't know if you can split it up, it's fine, but just somehow I just want to leave that up there for just a little. We're just going to camp out here for a little while. Paul says it again, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Mom, in this race that we're racing, this race of yours, I want you just to think today, what are you passing on? This has been something that we've talked about a lot at Moms with Swords over the past several sessions. I mean, many of you know we talk about this a lot. We've changed a little bit to where we're not just talking about how to discipline and how to, you know, time out your kids and how to teach your kids. We're focusing a little bit more on us. Because a lot of their problems start with us. So what are we passing on? This summer, several of you walked through this book with us. How many of you were at She Is Free this summer? Raise your hand. If you haven't read this book, I'm going to hold it up for a little while. Y'all need to get this book. Every woman, I would recommend this book to every woman to read. This book right here. We walked through this book. And we as a group, we were taking inventory, for lack of a better term, for what we're passing on to our kids. And I just want to read you a little section of this book, of this one of these little pages. I just want to read this to you in reference to what we're passing on. Andy says, when we offer our agreement willingly, even if unintentionally, as a 3- or 4-year-old, the enemy need only plant a small seed, a thought or an idea that germinates and develops into a destructive mindset to ourselves and consequently affecting those in our world. When we are so young, not yet grown up in a godly understanding, often hiding our issues from those who may offer guidance and healing because we don't know any better, even a small seed can make us prone to openly receive small lies as truth. Then we allow them to develop and produce the fruit of death in our lives. And Andy goes on to say that she was 13 when she finally told her mom that she had been molested. For 10 years, my parents were unaware of the depths of the pain I had been carrying along. And honestly, so was I. I had been trying to maneuver around my pain without any help from others, except for my closest friend, anger. Moms, the whole thought behind marked out that God said is to examine our race as to equip our children in theirs. But so many moms are just wanting to look at the kids' race, not wanting to see there's a tie to their race and their kids' race. As moms, we must be constantly taking inventory of what we are passing on. I call it a truth strainer. You know those little things? I've got one of my grandmother's. I've never, ever used it. You sift flour. What in the world do you need to sift flour for? Can't you just go Betty Crocker or something? I mean, what do you sift? I don't. But that's kind of what I've started doing as I've gotten older. Like I'm learning my own. I'm taking inventory of my truths that I'm walking out of, because like Andy said, they're not just affecting me, y'all. They're affecting the atmosphere of everybody around me. So this sift, I'm sifting what has been passed on to me. Now I'm always serious. Let's be funny for a second. I'm not talking about some of those things that you were passed as. See if any of these things sound familiar that you might have been passed, your mama might have passed on to you. Well, if everyone else jumped off of a bridge, would you? How many times have you said that? Pretty is pretty does. Anybody had their mama say that? You lie like a rug. Now, I get it now. I was like, see, what does that mean? But lie, the rugs lie. I am 46 years old. I've never known what. I've always gone, what, lie like a rug? How's a rug lie? But lie, okay. This was a good one. Have you ever said this to your kids? Probably because your mama said it to you. Your face is going to freeze like that. And if you have a teenage daughter, that's a good one to say. And this one, don't do anything I wouldn't do. Or if you were Jan Lagana, our mother, she said, listen, you ain't going to do anything that I haven't done or haven't thought of doing. Those were some of the things that possibly were passed on to you. And now let's think about some spiritual statements. These, I'm just going to give you the more spiritual concepts that I try to throw out that I'm trying to pass on to my kids. I say these all the time, and I almost wore, this is my favorite, I say this all the time, and John Chris, the Christian comedian, he's hilarious. I went to his website and I bought the shirt. I say this to my kids all the time, check your heart, check your heart, check your heart. And they say it now, they say it to each other. If John Williams in the back complaining and stuff, he's like, check your heart. I'm like, you get the plank out of yours and then you deal with his. I say this all the time. Do to others as you would have them do to you. This is a hard one. This has been really prevalent in our home lately because of stuff we've had, girl drama. And so I've had to say this over and over. Sophie Kate, don't repay evil for evil. And this one I love. This is out of Genesis 4. This was a big one for my middle child because I guess because she's so quiet, she had a lot of anger. And so when she was little, she just get this temper. And I would say, Sophie, sin is crouching at your door. It's crouching. Don't you open it. So these are some of the more spiritual things I'm hoping that I'm passing down to my kids. And we moms, we've got to be so intentional with these things. We've got to be repeating them. Deuteronomy gives us the go-to to repeat these. Deuteronomy 6 verse 7, it says, this is God telling Moses to tell, this was the Shema. They would say this every day. It says, write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Listen, get them inside of you. And then, see, this is why we got to focus on us first. Get them inside of you, Mom. Get God's ways inside of you, and then get them inside your children. We'd rather get them inside our kids and not talk about our own stuff. But today, I'm going to tell you, get it inside of you, and then get them inside of your children. Talk about them wherever you are. Talk about them on your drive to school. Talk about them when you're going to Chick-fil-A. Talk about them when you're going to bed. Talk about them on car line and carpool. When you're sitting at home having dinner, walking on the street, talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. Tie them on your hands. In the Jewish custom, they would, and they'd put picture things, they would put it in front of their forehead, so it was always in front of them. Write, inscribe them on the doorpost of your homes and on your city gates. Moms, we got to be intentional about the things we're passing on to our kids and our homes. And listen, I just was talking with Ann yesterday. I was like, you keep talking to him. We keep, if you ain't tired by the time your kids go to bed, you ain't talking enough. Talk. Talk about the Lord. Talk about how he's, what he's done in your life. Talk about the goodness of God. Find what Jesus is doing in your day and talk about it with your kids. We want our kids to talk about Jesus, but guess what? Do they ever hear you talk about Jesus? We want our kids to know the truth and the Bible and scriptures. Do you? Now, I ain't trying to be mean. I'm just trying to be a truth teller today. Get them inside of you. And then get them in your children. It starts with us, moms. Take inventory. Paul, here he is again in 2 Timothy. You see, Paul had Timothy, who he was intentionally passing on his faith to. He was a spiritual son for Paul because Timothy's dad was a Greek and there's no evidence he was a Christian. So Paul steps in and makes sure this spiritual son of his gets the gospel. And you could go ahead and put 2 Timothy 2 up, but listen to this. There are spiritual sons and daughters that come into your home every afternoon. They spend the night in your home on Friday nights. They're in your van on Thursday afternoons. They may not ever hear about Jesus. You seize the time. Let me tell you something. My kids know when their kids walk in my house, I treat them just like I treat my kids. Oh, they're going to hear. My 17-year-old, still, when she has people spend the night, I'll get a text about 12 o'clock. Are you coming up to pray for us? You may be the only Jesus those kids see. Don't be ashamed. It's your territory. Paul stepped right on in. He knew Timothy wasn't getting it at home. You moms of little ones that don't have to do this yet, tuck that away. I think that's one of the most important things we can do as moms is be spiritual mamas to kids who don't get it at home. And listen, I got a kid in Christian school, and so many of her friends are not getting it home. Don't you think just because they're at the Christian school or they go to church, they're getting it. You give it to them. You feed it to them like you feed it to your kids. I love Paul. Timothy, my dear son, he tells him, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Here it is. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Look, now pass it on. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 11. Here it is again. But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. Y'all, that wrecks me. I'm going to have to do a teaching on just that alone. But you, Sophie Kate and Sydney and John William, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. Do you? Do they? You know my faith. My patience. Go ahead and X that out. My love, which is limited, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I have endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, but the Lord rescued me from all of it. Here it is, this passing on. Listen, we're all going to pass on a little bit of our crazy. All of us. We're all flesh. Man, my 17-year-old is so much like me, and I just go, oh gosh. But it's so easy for me to parent her because her weaknesses, her buttons are a lot like mine. It's my middle one that I'm like, who are you and how do I parent you? We're all going to pass on, y'all. We're flesh. We're flesh. Unfortunately, we're flesh and sin. So we're all going to pass on something that is not of Jesus to our kids. But listen. I truly believe Scripture tells us what to make sure we are passing on. I believe it. We can filter our dailiness through the scripture. You can filter your dailiness through the scripture, through the word of God. I remember when we were putting Sydney, our oldest, in private Christian school, and it was never on our radar. It was Jesus that got her there. I mean, it never. We were full on public. I was never doing that. And so the Lord just, again, they're his kids, so he decides how they even want to get schooled. He decides everything. So this one was going on to Christian school, and I mean, confirmation after confirmation. I mean, my husband got a raise that would pay for the tuition. Like, it was crazy that it was just those times where you're like, there's no way if I didn't, I'd be disobeying. And the first time we told her, she said, oh, no. She looked at us, she said, public school is my mission field. So God had to do a work in her heart too. But then she couldn't get away from the sign. So, but I remember we were putting her in there, and I remember I was meeting with the headmaster at the time. And I looked at him, just because y'all know that's just how I am. And I said, look, I know this is an awesome school. I know it is. And I really have secretly always wanted my kids to go here. But I'm just going to tell you, I know the same stuff that was happening where she came from is happening here. Because kids are kids. I probably shouldn't have said that. Y'all know I'm bold. Gosh, I'm bold. But I said that, I'm so glad I said that, because then he could say this to me, and it's so good. He said, absolutely, Joy, absolutely. You're right, it is happening here. He said, but the difference here is that we can filter every sin problem, every issue, we can filter it through the word and scripture and deal with it through the word. I love that. And I believe you and I could do the same thing. The stuff our kids come in home with that's heavy on them, I believe we step back and we can filter it through the word of God. Look at verse 16 out of 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture, here it is God breathed, given by divine inspiration, and is profitable for instruction, y'all. Are you doing this every day? Instruction for conviction of sin. How many of you want your kids to feel sorry for their sin? My three R's, you know what my three R's that I pray for my kids every day: repentful, respectful, and radical followers of Jesus. I want them to be remorseful. And that's what the scripture does: for correction of error and restoration to obedience, for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, outfitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Y'all, that is a good scripture. That's what the word of God can do for you and can do for your kids as you filter it through your marriage, as you filter it through your girl issues, as you filter it through your job, as you filter it through your kids. That's what the word of God does, because God wants us to have honorable and integrity and courage so that we're equipped and we're proficient. As you and I make sure the priority of our race is getting scripture in us, then it cannot help but flow through us. You get that in you out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Luke 6:45 says. And a whole lot of flesh comes out of joy a lot of times. Just ask my sister, just ask my husband, and just ask my kids. A whole lot of flesh comes out. But man, I pray, God, make me repentful when it does, so that I can then turn it around and show my kids how I'm crawling back to grace myself. We can filter it. It can flow through us. I know I'm intense, and I know I Todd's like, Joy, you don't need to spiritualize Twilight. But I did. I was not going to read those books because they were vampires. I thought they were evil. Little Pharisee. I'm getting the Pharisee out of me. Y'all, that movie, Edward's love for Bella is like Jesus' love for us. I mean, I mean, it's so, and then their wedding. I know. So Todd's like, don't try. I mean, don't try to spiritualize Twilight. I'm like, well, I'm going to. I'm going to find Jesus in Twilight. I know it. But y'all, I know it's the only foundation for myself and for my kids and my marriage is the Word of God working in and through me. I can tell my children all day long to be kind. It's a hashtag in our school, hashtag be kind. The world says be kind, be kind. But when I can tell them because I know what Jesus says about kindness, then there's life behind it. There's life behind it, and it comes alive because that's what His Word does, and it feeds their soul. It takes root, and it produces. See, the world and its cultures, their view of love, like everybody's love, love, love. And I'm not trying to get political. I'm not going, don't email me. I'm not getting political. I'm just saying everybody's talking about love and being kind and accepting. But y'all, it's filtered through the world's view of love and kindness. So it's altered. It is skewed. It's based on man's thoughts of love and man's thoughts of how to be kind. But when you put love and kindness in the lens of Jesus, who embodies that, and that passed on to your kids, it goes to work. Because 1 Corinthians 3:19, it tells us exactly what the world's vision of love is or what the world thinks and foolishness. We have that. Shoot. See, there's always a scripture I miss. Anyway, it talks about the wisdom of man. It's foolishness to God. Like man's and the world's thought of love and kind, it's foolishness. The world thinks they came up with this concept of kindness and love. No. Look at verse 3. And put that up in the New Living Translation. Yeah, look at this, y'all. This is Paul again, remember? I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. We're going to sit here for just a second. I passed on to you what was most important. Just leave that up there for a second, Ann. Barnes' notes on the Bible cites this about this scripture. Listen to this. I love, oh, y'all, this is so good. Lord, this is so good. Paul, which had been communicated to me, which had been passed down to me. This the note says, not doctrines of which I was the author or which were to be regarded as my own, Paul saying this. Paul here refers to the fact that he had received these doctrines from the Lord Jesus by inspiration. Can I tell you, Mom? Can I tell you in reading this, Mom? Jesus, please don't let me give my kids mom doctrines or joy doctrines. Paul saying, I'm passed on to you. I didn't pass on Paul's words. I don't want you to get joy's words. I don't want my kids, Paul says, I passed on to you what was most important. I better be giving my kids the doctrines of Jesus that He has told me in His Word that I'm living out through the Word. When your baby comes home and has been looked over, passed over, talked about, I'm not going to lie, it is hard to not give them a mom doctrine. Aaron, walking through this lately, it's hard. John William last year had some stuff going on at school. We don't do boyfriends or girlfriends. He is 10. Sydney has kind of set the bar, so we've kind of, and Sophie Kate throws it in my face all the time. So when I'm 16, I get to have a boyfriend. I'm like, yeah, yes, I guess. So John William, little football player, and all the cheerleaders go after all these little football players. It's hilarious. It is hilarious. They get them birthday presents, and I mean, it's so cute. Kinda. My husband thinks it's cute. I'm like, what? So John William had this little girl who liked him, and he liked her. So they're back and forth, they were in the same class together. Well, one day, I don't even know, he told his friend to tell her that he didn't like her anymore. Well, y'all, That like proceeded, and I don't get mad at me, but I think this word is so overused in our culture, so I'm not even going to say it. But he just started getting made fun of, and kids being kids, kids being kids. But y'all, it wasn't from boys. It was from girls. They were calling him J-Dump, which my husband loves now. He's like, John William, you have to admit that's good. They were calling him J-Dump. They were, I mean, making fun of his clothes. I mean, girls, not boys. Girls. And my little John William, you know, he's the third child. He can dish it out, but he can't take it very well. But as his mama, who has very honest eyes, I see it. So I'm like, oh, no, no. But his little heart was breaking. He'd come home from school, and he'd actually cry about it. And I can tell you, in those moments, I really had a lot of mom doctrines. I had a lot of joy doctrines I wanted to tell him, but I knew hitting a girl wasn't going to be good. I mean, it went on and on for, we're talking like a month. They were nonstop. Again, it wasn't boy and boy. It was boys, girls against him. But what John William needed and what I would have to pray, and I would tell Todd all my mom doctrines and my sister, but when it came to John William, I had to just, I don't know how, the Holy Spirit gave me a gift of self-control in the moment, and because what I would give him in those moments were Jesus-inspired doctrines, and because I'm learning to examine my own race, God, you're helping me filter stuff before it comes out. I'm examining that. I could tell him Matthew 5:39, John William, turn the other cheek. I could tell John William 1 Peter 3:9, John William, don't repay evil for evil. I know, I want you to. Don't repay evil for evil. And this one, Luke 6:28, I'd say, John William, Jesus says to bless those who curse you. So we're going to pray for these little girls every night. You see, that's what in that moment my son needed. In those moments, moms, God will give you Jesus doctrines to give your kids if the Jesus doctrines are in here. You can call your girlfriend the next day and tell her everything you wanted to tell him to do to that little kid. But in the moment, you give your kid a Jesus doctrine. Paul says, I didn't, this is strong, y'all. This is a strong word. Paul says, I didn't pass on to you a Paulism. I didn't pass on something that I passed on to you revelation from Jesus himself. Man, I want my kids to leave my home. And again, Justin, I got less time. I mean, I got a junior in high school, and she's going to Georgia. I mean, from a Christian school. I gotta say this is real funny. I remember we're at Georgia, and I went to a Christian college too, and I just wasn't around this lot, and we were at Georgia. We're fixing to go back to a game, and I now know. And we were walking in, there's this cute boy with his little preppy shorts on and everything, and we were in the game, it was Georgia, Tennessee, and he's like throwing up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this was when Sydney was trying to decide if she was going to go to Georgia or not, and I'm sitting there going, she ain't going to Georgia, no, what I'm seeing, we saw a teenager and a grown man getting a fight, saying the F word, and I'm like, yeah, there are kids in this line, I really did that, but here this little boy, and I run over to this, I mean, he's a college boy, and then I see a red Solo cup, and I'm like, oh, give me your phone. I'm calling your mama right now. So, y'all, that's where my kid's going. So I want her to have revelation, inspirations from Jesus so that she can take that with her where she goes. Your kids need those kinds of revelations. They don't need joy revelations. They don't need mom revelations. They need Jesus-inspired revelations that you have the privilege to give them. You have the privilege to give that little preschooler that's biting his friends at preschool. I've had one of those, I know. But you can give him Jesus revelation. Finally, verse 11, we're going to end on this verse. And if all my volunteers could come up here, just come on up, Shannon, Ginger. Y'all come on up here. I just want y'all to kind of just split this podium and just stand really close together. Up here on the stage, come on. Just line up just around here, but no, don't get behind me. Just kind of, yeah, just be stay like in a little crescent moon. Yeah, okay, Ginger, you right here. Mary Ann, you up here. Hope you go on the other side. Yep, y'all just kind of, y'all can be like, yep, Shannon right there. Yep, just kind of where they can still see you, okay? So I've got some volunteers for this part of my teaching. So Paul says, verse 11, he says, so it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message you've already believed. Hebrews 12, let me just say this. We are all going for the same prize. Why is there so much competition in the body? Why? And a lot of us are competing with the girls that are represented on this stage. Paul says it doesn't matter whether it was I or the other witness who brought you this message. But there's so much competition. Relay races are a popular race. In a relay race, each runner must hand off a baton, much like these. I ordered these off of Amazon. My husband's like, what in the world are you ordering those for? You are not running a race. I was like, don't you think after Moms with Swords, I might be. So I ordered these batons. This is what they do. And within a certain zone, has anybody ever run in a relay race? Look at y'all. Look at y'all. Y'all get my respect. Just like when you're smart, you get my respect. So in a certain zone, usually marked by triangles, the runner will pass. And what they'll do is they'll give an audible auditory signal, such as stick, and they pass it. Stick! And they repeat it several times. And the recipient of the baton will put out his hand, kind of like this in the back. He'll put it out like this. And normally, what's the normal is they will rub that hand with a butter to make that stick. So they rub their hand with a butter. This is a common tactic in the 4x100 meter relay. They do that butter. And see, because in a physical race, if you don't catch the baton, you're disqualified. Praise you, Jesus. Listen to me. Listen to me. There is nothing that disqualifies you from this race and receiving your prize. Not abortion, not premarital sex, not an affair, not adultery. Nothing will keep you if you have accepted the prize, Jesus. Nothing disqualifies you, Mom. Do you hear me? Nothing disqualifies you. Not your past. Not your past. And so many of you, if I gave you a mic right now, could stand up and testify right now. But this is what's happening. In your race, Mom. See, God brings along a lot of people, working mamas. There's some working mamas. There's some private school moms. There's some adoptive moms. There's homeschool moms. There's public school moms. Single working mamas. Radical, tattooed up mamas, the foster moms, the mom on your dance team, the mom on your football team, Think about some of the people that passed on to you. Maybe a youth leader. Stick! A grandmama passed on some things to you. Stick! But let me tell you what I think is happening now. Is I think when that working mama, we're running our race, and God allows some working mama to come beside us in her race, and God's got that working mama to give me, stay-at-home mama, something, and Shannon goes, stick, I go, pass. I judge her race. Oh, she works. She's got her priorities. Y'all, I'm going to call out everything that the enemy uses with us women. I'm going to say it out loud today. The devil is a liar. Oh, and then we got the private school mom. She comes along. We're running. I'm running. I'm in public school, and I got this private school mom, and here comes this private school mom, and she's got something that God wants her to pass on to me, and God's saying, stick, and I go, pass. Oh, she's a private school mom, so she's rich. And she, you know, she thinks that her kids are going to get saved by being at private school. She doesn't understand. Mm-hmm. Because of our own assumptions. Because of our own wounds. That adoptive mom, I can't learn from her because she's more holy than me. That homeschool mom, I can't learn from her. She thinks she's better than me because she homeschools her kids. Am I not speaking the truth? We don't want to say it, but that is what is happening. And all the while, God is saying, you are missing because you are competing. You are missing because you are thinking that you are better than them. You are thinking that I can't give you something from them. And I have got something that they need to pass on to you. We're refusing the stick because of our own assumptions, our own insecurities. And we're missing something eternal that we can all learn from each other. Jesus, let me learn how to obey like this. Let me learn how to endure like this mama of two children, single, has to work like four jobs. Let me learn from her, not compete with her. She's got the gospel. That's what this represents. That is what Paul is saying. I passed on to you what was most important. These women have something important to pass on to you. Are you saying stick or are you saying pass? And look at this, y'all. Even God, who used a donkey to keep Balaam from being disobedient, do you think even God could use a non-believer, a sinful person in your race? Oh, it's okay. Yeah, sure. Oh, but let me say this, in your baby's race, that kid that's in your kid's class that you're trying to keep them from sitting by. Pass! Let me tell you something. I am just now being convicted of that very thing. I have kept my children away from the very children that Jesus is going after. Do you not think there could be a non-believer running beside your kid that needs the stick? And he wants to use your baby to give it? Y'all, you can't run your kid's race. You can Blackhawk. Listen, My girl is running with several girls that I know aren't following the Lord. And so I'm blackhawking her race big time. I am blackhawking big time. But listen, I'm not interfering in her race because it's her race. And God, y'all, is the judge of your kid's race. Therefore, he gets to decide. And he is sovereign. And I can tell you, even if that person causes something in your kid, I had a guy come in my race when I was 16. And y'all, he passed on some things to me that I can tell you were not holy. But I can tell you, God has redeemed them. And now I am able to pass on something to my girls that I could never have passed on. So trust the mystery and sovereignty of God. Blackhawk your kids' race, but do not step in their lane. Do not step in their lane. You let them run it. And you trust that God's got something that he wants to be passed on to them. Through possibly an unlikely person. Justin goes down to the Dream Center every Thursday night to Compassion Night to the homeless of Atlanta. And he could sit there and tell you things that these heroin addicts, cocaine addicts, drunks have passed on to him. That he is now using in his race to pass on to his babies. Ooh, y'all. Look at these mamas. And the next time God brings them alongside you in your race, would you ask God, stick? Because Paul says it right here. It makes no difference. Whether I preach, Shannon preaches, because Shannon and I, we're preaching the same message. That mama beside you, she's just trying to preach Jesus to her kids too. Could you just cheer her on? Could you just cheer her on? Oh, you girls may be seated. Thank you. At the Rio Olympics in August of this year, the USA women's 4x100 meter relay team was the hot favorite. Everybody was talking about this team. Right up until the time in the Olympics when they dropped the baton in their heat. I think we have a picture of them. Each runner was faster than anyone else, but they dropped the baton in their race. Have you dropped the baton in your race sometimes? Have you refused to receive something because of something in you that God hadn't healed yet, or because of a thought that was not true? The good news is, just like what happened for these Olympics runners, is they got a chance to rerun it. They got another chance. And guess what happened? They won their prize. They won the gold medal. Mamas, you got a new chance today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You got a new chance today to pick this up, pass it on to your babies, and even to take it from somebody else that's got something for you. Because at the end, we're all receiving the prize if we just keep running. Hear God saying to you today, stick, stick. Let's pray. Oh God, what a strong presence of your, we just can't do anything right now, y'all. We just got to sit in this moment for just a minute. You are working right now. You're telling me you are working. Your presence, your power, I feel it like a fire in this room. This word, man, God, you have put your power and presence on it. So, God, we're just going to sit here and just let it do what you need it to do. Prayer team, would you go back to the back? God, let your word right now do what it's supposed to do. Condemnation, I bind you up in the name of Jesus. You are to exit this building right now. Shame, in the name of Jesus, I call you out. You are to leave. You have no trespassing sign set up for you right now in the name of Jesus. We are qualified to run this race. The blood qualifies us. The devil, you tell us of our past, but hear your Father today tell you of the future that awaits you. Holy Spirit, do your work in this place. Where we've been obstinate and refusing to take the stick, lather up our hand, God, and let us grip it with a firm hand and run and run and run. Jesus, do your work right now. We're just going to sit here just for a second, y'all. Just sit in the uncomfortable silence. Just sit. I feel the Holy Spirit staying me from doing anything else right now, so I got to obey. Just sit right here and let him talk to you. If you need prayer, I dismiss you to go in the back and find a prayer leader if you need prayer. If not, I just want you to sit here for just a second and contemplate how God wants you to receive this word. Jesus, forgive us for not cheering each other on. Forgive us for judging others' race instead of cheering on others' race. Jesus, begin with this group of ladies to dispel all the assumptions put on groups of people that do certain things. Use the women in this room and the women listening to break the barrier where we refuse to learn from one another because we don't agree or we don't think it's best. We break down the barrier in Jesus' name. I want you just to grab your sister's hand beside you. Just grab her hand. And I want you to look at her. You might have to look at your left and your right, but I feel the Spirit wants you to look left and right. And I want you to say, I'm cheering you on. Tell her again, I'm cheering you on. And then look at her. And in your loudest voice, I want you to say stick. Ready? One, two, three. Stick! Stick! Amen!